member of the Pod Riot Network.
Let the riot begin.
On PodRiot.com.
Welcome to Kinky Sex Radio.
Hello, Kinksters. It is Kinky Sex Radio. I'm Professor Tom. With me, as always,
Miss Gypsy.
And Miss Gypsy, did you know we mentioned last week and maybe the week before about the Pod Riot Network? We are number two in our category at Podcast Alley.
That's pretty awesome.
That is incredibly awesome for a new network. So I want to thank everyone who's voted. And if you haven't, you lazy bastard, could you please go to podriot.com and scroll down a little bit. You'll see about halfway down the page a vote box. Type in your email. They don't spam you. There's no downside to this. I mean, it takes 2 seconds, and we like it. We like votes. They're fun.
And I've been listening to the shows that are on the network with us, and they're fantastic shows to listen to.
Yeah, they're a blast. Two of my absolute favorite shows are Punky and Total Talk Nonsense, which if you haven't listened to either of them, you are doing yourself a disservice. And then Lynn's Sci-Fi News, Cult of UHF, and the two cyberpunk shows, Hack TV and Cyberpunk Radio. Cult of UHF, I can't get enough of. I watched his promo like 5 times.
And I have to say my favorite other than our show is the Total Talk Nonsense. Those guys are just hilarious.
John and Scott, mm-hmm. They are awesome. Did you hear them last week with Zach? Or no, I just heard the newest one where them and Punky are going at it.
No, I haven't heard
They've
that one yet.
They've got a feud going on as to what Punky, Paulie B from Punky hates Skype and thinks it messes up their show, and Total Talk Nonsense is like, whatever, and just, oh, it's great. It's a really fun, like, old school rivalry. It's all in good fun. But it's, yeah, they're just calling each other bastards and wankers and awesome stuff.
Hi, Gypsy and Tom. It's Cynical, just calling to say hi. I love the show. And Tom, quit being a pussy. Put your picture up on MySpace.
So we got a question from a listener about cuckold, or having sex while your partner is watching, which is something I have done. Not necessarily the cuckold play where you make them feel humiliated for it, but my wife thoroughly enjoys, very much, one of her number one things? That doesn't make any sense. One of her top 5 things, I think is what I'm trying to say here, is watching me have sex with other women. It's a common fantasy for her. It's something she thinks about when she masturbates, and it's something she has enjoyed doing, or watching me do, in the past. And this, I guess, they wanted sort of a discussion. So let me ask you, have you ever done anything like that?
No, not really. And from what I understand, it's usually the other way around. It's usually the woman that wants to humiliate her husband.
That's the typical, I guess you'd say,
right,
cuckold scenario. Like if you go, there's some forums I found online about that, and I couldn't find it the other way very often. I have been doing this for years because it was something my wife liked, and I enjoy threesomes more than the other way around. But a lot of times we can both get what we want, because we can start with her watching and then include her at some point.
Now, do you ever introduce other men into the situation, or has it just been strictly women with you?
It's been strictly women because of my sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I am, on the Kinsey scale, I'm way to the heterosexual side. And I've said this to my wife as a joke before. I'm not repressed. If I were bisexual at all, I would be fucking a guy right now. Like, there is
like,
no...
Like, right this instant.
Say again?
Right this instant.
Right this instant, constantly. Because it's so great when you're gay, because you know it's a guy. You know what he wants. I can talk to a guy about getting laid. It's the mystery of women. I guess that's what I like. So, yeah, there's no religious hang-ups. There's no family hang-ups. I could certainly bring a big black guy home to the family. And as long as he knew how to play poker, that's very important in my household, he'd be welcomed. Not a problem. So I'm very fortunate. Unfortunately, I was born heterosexual, and so I'm a little limited in my scope. So for that reason, now she certainly would be interested in bringing 2 guys in, and we've talked about that. It just doesn't appeal to me. As far as discussing how you do it, there's a sticky wicket.
Yeah.
I mean, how do you meet a third person? Well, we've given these websites before, bondage.com, yeah. alt.com.
And any you know, 3 or 4 more person experiences that I've had, it's just kind of more come about rather than, you know, searching for the person.
And beyond that, it's not that much different. Once you've got a third person, for example, using my case, once my wife and I meet someone that we're both attracted to, now we have slightly different tastes too. And so a lot of times I'm going, hey, how about check this girl out? And she's like, no, not my type at all. So once we agree physically on a woman, then we have to agree personality-wise, because a lot of times I really like her, and still, until I start talking to her, then she's not so sexy anymore. You know, she goes, hey, my name's Bambi, and I'm an idiot, and I know nothing about anything, and they're just eye candy, and I don't like that kind of woman.
Right.
There's got to be something in the wrapper. It's just a rule.
A little bit between the ears.
Yeah, God, please, at least a little bit. And she's the same way. So a lot of times, the really cute ones, no, suddenly aren't sexy. Now you've got to explain to them that you're polyamorous. So you see, the odds are getting lesser and lesser and lesser. We're talking 0.0003% of the women in the world. Because, one, I gotta like them. Two, she's gotta like them. Three, both of us have to like them. Four, they have to be into it. They have to be intelligent. It's just like anything else. It's a bitch. It's just exponentially magnified because there's two people looking at the same time. Once you get to that point, well, you've probably found somebody pretty hip, pretty intelligent, so they're not going to be surprised. I'm not going to find repressive people whose religion forbids such things, because those people never make it past the first filter with me. Those aren't the kind of people I hang around, really. So now we can move pretty quickly into it. As far as the ins and outs, pardon that pun, there's no specific way to do it. If you want to humiliate, well, then you simply talk smack while you're having sex with a woman. You look over at your wife. You know, is this what you like, bitch? Is this, you know, this is what I'm going to do to you? This is what I think about you? Whatever your humiliation is. My wife, that isn't the case. She just wants to watch us having either kinky or vanilla sex. She doesn't care. It's almost like live porno, apparently.
And so is it more the visual for her, or?
She's very much a voyeur.
So is it, what about her having sex with you? Does she like to be the exhibitionist?
She will do that and have the other person watch, and it's a neutral thing. It's like, oh, well, if it turns her on, then sure, we can fuck, and she can sit over in the corner now and masturbate or what have you. So it's solely a voyeuristic thing, though she's not opposed to playing exhibitionist.
See, it's the other way for me. I enjoy watching very, very much, but exhibitionism, I love even just the idea someone might be watching. My first public scene, I was very nervous, but once I got into the swing of thing, I knew the people were watching. I knew there was about 30 people standing around watching our scene, but I just zoned in to the experience. But, you know, being able to every once in a while look over and see, you know, a crowd full of people watching us, you know, get crazy with each other, that was just extremely hot to me.
Have you ever found yourself fantasizing about an imaginary third person while you were having any sort of intercourse? I mean, specifically I'm thinking vanilla, because a lot of people tell me that they knew they were an exhibitionist because that was where they went to get off. They would be having vanilla sex and they would think, ooh, wouldn't it be hot if there was this guy in a trench coat in the corner smoking a cigarette and what, like something out of a noir.
Something like that, like, you know, the having the window wide open and, you know, the potential of someone next door walking
by. Oh, you set
by.
Up scenarios where you might get caught.
Yes.
Oh, that's quite cool. Okay, so let's delve into that for a second. So you like the idea of being caught. That's almost a humiliation thing for you, though, huh?
Yeah, it's that.
You see where I'm going with that? Kind of like, right. Oh, you bad girl. You shouldn't have been having sex. Naughty, naughty, naughty. And the neighbors saw you. That's kind of a neat little submissive twist you're putting on it.
But it's also, you know, I think I'm good at what I do. And, you know, I get off on the idea of someone like, hey, you know, that's kind of nice.
Moves.
I'm
going to
sit here and watch.
You're bragging and being submissive at the same time. That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm a hot little bitch.
I'm retarded. This is Having Sex with a Wife Watches / Exhibitionism.
Exhibitionism.
I'm going to start over. JW, who we love. You got your first JW question last week.
Which one was his last week?
JW was the... Yeah, so you put me on the spot and I can't remember now. JW has been in like every third podcast.
But he does send in a lot of topics for us. Thanks, JW.
He does. And this is one that's been sitting in the forums for a long time. Because I wanted to kind of do a little bit of research. He mentioned he'd like to hear something about Fireplay. Now, I got to say, JW, this is going to be a little basic. Because what I've elected to do is talk about basic Fireplay. Because JW posted in the forums, and he's a fairly advanced player, we'll say. He's an advanced kinkster. He's a kinkster grande. Someone else sent me an email wanting to know the very basics. So let me explain. Did you know I was in the circus?
No.
People think I'm joking right now. I was honestly in the circus. I've worked as a fire eater, sword swallower, and juggler.
You saw me juggling. A clown.
I am a bit of a clown also. But I have never been a clown in the circus. I did more sideshow stuff. So I have a lot of experience playing with fire. A lot. We're talking 200 times a year since the age of 10, and I'm 33 years old. More fire play experience, non-sexual granted, but more fire safety experience, working with 10-person troops, 1-person troops, outdoors, indoors, hanging upside down, swinging on a trapeze, juggling fire. So let me explain some basics of fire play, because I've also played around with it in the bedroom. First of all, if you're going to start, let's talk safety. I'll keep this brief, and I'll put some links in the show notes. Basic things you want to remember. If you're using any sort of medium, now that's a liquid of any kind, water's a bad idea. Wet towel. If alcohol pools up, if you're using alcohol, which I do not recommend, but if you're using it, use a very tiny amount. Let's say you screw up. It happens. Oops, it pools in the small of her back. Pour water on it. What'd you do? Spread the fire out. Alcohol's lighter than water. That's why flaming shots flame. Now you've spread the fire out. You want to. Odds are you'll know you've burned her because she'll jump. So laying your hand on it to put it out probably isn't going to work. Putting a paddle on top of it to put it out. She's probably already moved and it started running down her side is what I'm imagining. Wet towel. Have a large wet towel always within reach. And that's hard to do because you're playing, you're horny, and she's hot and you're hot and whatever's happening is happening. You're outdoors, there's a midget and a unicorn and all the fun stuff we mention every show. And you forget and the towel's 20 feet away. No, always have it very handy. You can also buy fire blankets online. I think I paid $40 for my last one. It's a fireproof fabric that's treated. Throw that over them, it's out. The other thing you want to keep in mind, burns are very painful. You want to avoid. Fire play is mostly about intimidation. It's not about being, it's about feeling the burn, not being burned. You're on fire, you're helpless. The same way holding a lit cigarette to a nipple, vagina, buttock, whatever, a penis, is hot because I could burn you. That's where your attitude has to be if you're the one burning. I could hurt you. I could mark you. I am in charge here. That's the attitude. There's no reason to actually burn someone. If you want to start playing, here's what you do. Get flash cotton. You go to the magic shop and you ask for flash cotton. It's also called nitrocellulose. Just what it sounds like, cellulose, nitro. It will come wet in a plastic bag. I think I paid about $12 for enough to get you through a couple of scenes. You take it home, you have to dry it out. They ship it wet for obvious reasons. It could explode in the boat on the way over here. And it's always from Asia, where they make it cheap. You take it home, you dry it out. Do not put it on top of your radiator. It's nitrocellulose. Do not put it on top of a vent as heat runs up through it. You'd be amazed how little burn it takes to ignite this stuff. Dry it out. It doesn't take that long. Fluff it up. It takes maybe 20 minutes to dry out. Now you got a supply. What you're not going to use, keep wet. So it'll be in a Ziploc baggie, so the liquid will stay in there. Now you got to start playing. Because you, and by you I mean whoever's going to be doing the burning. If you're the dominant in this scene, or if you're the one who's trusted to get this information on fire play, you are going to need to take a very, very, very small amount. We're talking half the size of a Q-tip. The little end on the Q-tip there, half that amount. You're new. Start small. Put that on the palm of your hand. It'll be very fluffy. Lots of air. Air is what burns. Then touch it with a lit cigarette. You could do a violet wand if you touch your hand and the sparkle catch, or a lighter. I like cigarette. You touch it, and it goes, just as quick as the devil, on your hand. Feel that. Now, the front of your hand and the back of your hand are two different worlds. Put it on the back of your hand. Do it again. Now put it on your arm, on the forearm, near, if you were a heroin junkie, where you imagine heroin junkies injecting. What is that, the crux of the elbow right here?
Well, in tattooing, they call that the ditch.
The ditch. The elbow pit. If you have an armpit, you have an elbow pit, yes? Put it there. Very sensitive area. You get where I'm going with this? Move your way so that you know what this will feel like on a breast, on genitalia, on a face, what have you. Flash cotton, it's impossible for it to burn and then run off the body. It lasts a tenth of a second. It's the fastest stuff in the world to see burn. And so you're going to be safer doing this. Now, you can burn your partner, but burn them like a cigarette burn. It's going to be almost impossible for it to get out of control and burn his or her entire back or their entire face. You can also play. You can make it a toy. You're going to still want to have a towel that's wet nearby. And don't put the flash cotton supply, like if you put it in a bowl or on a plate or you leave the baggie near you. Please don't be silly and put that 2 feet from the person you're burning it on. Keep about 20 feet of distance. Go get a piece of cotton, walk over, put it on her face, her butt, her breast. And you're fairly safe. When I say face, you could put it on someone's forehead, light it, and it's gone. It's not going to roll into their eyes. It vanishes in half a second. But it burns very hot, very quickly. So be very careful.
Hey, this is Chad from Unedited, the extensively edited podcast for podcasters. And when I want to get my freak on, I tune in to Kinky Sex Radio.
So, Professor Tom, what's our giveaway this month?
This month we're giving away The Bondage of Destiny by Glengarry McLeod.
And you had an excerpt from it?
Oh, yeah. I excuse me. I was not prepared. If you haven't heard, we do giveaways at least every month here at Kinky Sex Radio. This month we're giving away a huge book. This book is ginormous.
Doorstop of a book.
It is 8,000 pages. No, it is 600, though. 593 pages. Amazing. And let me see. Here's I just randomly opened to a page. So page 393.
The part that pissed her off the most was that the beautiful little masochist didn't actually do anything. At least nothing in a contrived, prefabricated sort of way. She just was, and Marlene blew a cloud out of her nostrils as she thought about whose fault that was. Who was it that spelled it out for her, for the successfully beautiful doctor's wife in the parking lot of a church on a dark and stormy night several weeks ago? I should have just cut your fucking throat, she whispered, into another cloud of carcinogens.
Isn't that awesome? It's a psycho love story, which I think is just fun. And the way you get it is by sending us an email and explaining how you get our show. iTunes, Podnova, Odeo, there's a million podcatchers. Apparently there's only one for our show, though, because we've gotten the same answer over and over and over again, iTunes. And
the 500-pound gorilla.
Oh, my God, it is. And what you're doing while listening to our show. And it's probably the least scientific way to compile user demographics ever. Gypsy and I just kind of wondered what people do. I'll read you a few. We've gotten quite a few responses, and thank everyone for making our first like writing contest a real success. We appreciate it. Someone gets a show from iTunes and takes it on the pubic bus to school. I'm sure that's supposed to be public, but they wrote pubic, which is appropriate. Maybe it's not. I take the pubic bus to school, and the bus ride is like 2 hours long, so I listen to your show to entertain me. So we're appropriate, I think, for the pubic bus. Let's see. Oh, here's someone, Calvin, downloads our show from the website kinkysexradio.com as an MP3. Thank you, Calvin, for being the one person out of 500 who doesn't use iTunes. There's nothing wrong with iTunes. He listened to it at work. Oh, this is cool. He also burns a copy on CD so his slave/wife can listen to it in the car.
Well, that's very thoughtful.
That's very thoughtful of him. And as always, you're welcome to burn this show and share it with as many people as you want. Matter of fact, you have that in writing right on our website. You can also repurpose it if you want to put it on your website. I don't care what you do with it. Just listen to it. Here's a nice one. Dear Professor Tom and Gypsy, I've listened to your show from the beginning after seeing a recommendation on Violet Blue's site, tinynibbles.com. If you haven't listened to Violet Blue's site, she does, I think it's called Open Source Sex, another sex podcast. Really good. I subscribe through iTunes, big shock there, and use listener show while I'm in bed at night before going to sleep. Or I get so turned on from the show topic that I wake my hubby up and ravish him.
Ravish him.
And she particularly likes the show about spanking. She deserves a good spanking at times. That's her words. I deserve a good spanking at times. And then she says, keep up the good work, and I'd love to hear about foot fetishism, which, hey, good news. We did that last week. This email's a little old. Let's see. Another one from Curiosity 34, hour-long bus ride. Apparently, we're a commute. I laugh out loud and pretty much get odd stares. Let's see. Vlad listens to the podcast in the car on the way home from work. He also likes little extras we've been adding to the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you. Thank you, Vlad. Oh, here we go. Excuse me. I said I didn't want, like, creative answers, but some people do creative things while listening to our podcast. I listen to your show through the links from your site. So another one who doesn't download it through iTunes. Usually I'm wearing a thick cloth diaper, plastic pants, and sometimes a onesie. These are my usual baby clothes. Most of the time I'm just laying in bed and listening, but on occasion I can't help but masturbate while listening. When this happens, I'm fantasizing about getting caught in my diapers and being made to wet myself before mommy removes my diapers, spanks me, and re-diapers me. So someone into infantilism.
Well, it's good to know that we're inspiration.
Hey, that's kind of awesome. Well, that's a guy. I can tell from the name, which I won't read because he didn't say I could, but I can tell from the name. It's like a Professor Tom kind of signature, so it's a dude's name. However, we also have a woman that sent an email who's masturbating while listening to our show. So a little something for him, a little something for her. Quite fun. Here's Grant. Grant listens to it in bed before going to sleep, hoping that the show will produce great kinky dreams. Grant also loves the new format. Thank you, Grant. Justin. This is my favorite one. Excuse me, I'll clear my throat properly before reading it. Justin is a local. He's from Chicago. I listen to you guys on iTunes, and I have you on my iPod and laptop. And I have the headphones off and let everyone around me listen to KSR at Panera Bread in Tinley Park. and a few people move, and at school I tell everyone what I'm listening to and have them listen, and I burn a few copies of your podcast for a few friends, and they love the show. So if you ever miss a podcast and want to catch up, just go to Tenley Park to the Panera Bread. I don't know what day. He's broadcasting our show.
Hey, if it's getting other people listening, we're all for it.
Or if it's scaring the crap out of the vanilla people.
It's kinky.
Now, Gypsy, you know I have this theory that there are a few constant kinks. Have you ever heard me talk about this?
Yeah, just everybody has the basic 1, 2, 3 blindfolds, handcuffs, bondage.
Spanking.
Yes, spanking.
Well, okay. So blindfolds, scarves would take the place of like handcuffs.
Silk scarves.
Yeah, tie me up with a handkerchief or a silk scarf or a babushka or what have you. And then spanking. And those, I think, are the three. This is just my theory. I have no scientific reason for this at all. That's just what I believe everyone's doing.
Well, that's what you see at the female bachelorette parties. The stripper comes in and, you know, spanks her and, you know, ties her to the chair and does a gyrating little dance in front of her. And so it's that's the kinky end of the, you know, free woman sort of thing before she ties it down.
So I guess that'd be the heavy end of the vanilla spectrum.
Right.
Because if you go any further, I think you're a kinkster. You're just new. You're light kinkster. But if you go further than that, one step further than that, I'd call you kinky. So let's talk about moving sensory depth from that introductory level into something a little kinkier. So let's start with the blindfold. What are your favorite uses? Or do you want me to go first? I don't care, because I use a blindfold quite a bit. I'll talk about it.
Okay.
You're giving me that look of like, go for it, dude. Knock it out.
Well, blindfolds, I'm just on the fence about it. So I could do with or without a blindfold.
I am a huge fan of depriving a woman, in this case, a submissive, of sight. It's really fun for me. I like the idea that they can't see what I'm going to do. I also, and this is kind of why I do podcasting also, I've always liked audio and Foley. And I like that in a scene as well. To make a noise that sounds like a knife being sharpened. Or to make a noise that sounds like a rut, so they don't know, they hear this.
Now, I can agree with that aspect of it, of, you know, not being able to see what's coming.
It's that theater of the mind, because what they're imagining, especially if it's someone who doesn't really know if I have this giant fucking machine in the closet or not. You know, it's a new relationship, and they hear a door. So what they're imagining in their mind is way cooler than whatever I'm actually doing. I'm probably just moving some chains around.
Well, that actually reminds me of a scene from a movie where the guy's threatening to burn the guy, and he's like burning a steak in the background, so he's like hearing the flesh, but he's actually pressing a popsicle against the guy's leg.
Awesome. So it's using sensory depth, and then that's a cool idea. I have used where I lay out a huge collection of really intimidating looking knives, blindfold the person, then use a butter knife to play on their body. Because I'm telling you, you can't tell if I've convinced you it's this gigantic steak knife or these huge juggling knives that I have or some sword. And then I press the back edge of a cold butter knife against your throat, your nipple, your vagina, your leg. I'm telling you, your brain is way more powerful than your sensory organs. And you're convinced it's this gigantic sharp. And then I can also take a toothpick and poke the breast or whatever area we're playing with here, the foot, the eyelid, the cheek.
And just the sound of like a butterfly knife opening.
Yeah, so that's part of sensory. The other part is for the submissive, they really are, we rely on our eyes a lot. Try walking around your house with your eyes closed. It's difficult. It's a talent to do this. So it is a quick 0 to 60 from in charge to helpless. You know, it's the one sense I think you can take out and suddenly you feel 90% more helpless. If you have headphones on or earplugs in or a mummification or what other sensory depth, I would say you feel, well, maybe sensory, maybe the mummification because there's a bondage element, but I'd say maybe 20% more helpless.
See,
again, just sort of arbitrarily applying these numbers. I'd say with your eyes closed, 90% more helpless.
See, I'm very tactile. I like being able to touch things. Like if my hands are being bound behind my back, I like being able to feel the rope as it's sliding over my hand. Or if, you know, I'm being flogged, I like to reach back and maybe, you know, try and touch my partner's leg. You know, I'm a very tactile person.
So do you use any sort of tactile deprivation?
Like a leather kind of mitten, I guess you could say. It goes over the hand and, you know, binds at the wrist. And so you can't move your hands. It's in a fist. And so that drives me nuts because I like to touch.
I know a lot of women who like to touch. One thing that drives them nuts about being like tied to the bed is that they can't touch you while you're doing whatever it is you're doing to them. So I could see how that would be hot. Another sensory depth thing I've done is how do I explain this? I've had a submissive in the room who was just forced to look away. And not physically restrained in any way, just ordered or commanded not to look in this direction, or bound, bent over the bed with her ass facing the bed. So it's this weird little bed I've got that I can do this with. But they're bent over and tied up, so that they're facing away from the action that's going on behind them. So they could kind of look over their shoulder, but they're not going to see much. Or in some cases, I've just said, look, you're going to stare at this corner. And that's what you do because I'm your master. That's your command for whatever scene we're in or whatever situation. You're going to stare at this spot on the wall. Meanwhile, there's this really hot whatever. Either I'm beating another slave behind them, having sex, or just working, making them stand in the corner and ignoring them, literally as a humiliation thing. So now they're sensory they're deprived of visual input, but it's mental. This also works if someone is scared of blindfolds or gimp masks or hoods.
Yeah, like me, I have, you know, a phobia of hoods, you know, for just something completely, even if it's just like a pillowcase, you know, something completely enclosing my head. Like I can handle, you know, every part of my face, you know, being covered, earplugs, blindfold, gag. But if you throw a hood on, that completely freaks me out.
Oh, so it's this weird little phobia. So it's not the fact that the senses are taken out. It's just the hood itself.
Right.
So that's what I'm talking about. It's exactly the kind of situation. The other thing I've done personally is sort of a faux mummification. Put someone in a sleeping bag or wrap them in a blanket. And then it's very loosely, because it was a very casual sort of thing, I ran rope around them just to sort of, because they're already kind of confined by the sleeping bag or the sheets or whatever, so you don't need much tying to go on. Wrap some rope around them, tie it off. Now you get this feeling of being constricted, but you also get hot. You're uncomfortable, you're sweaty.
So have you done anything with back beds or sensory deprivation tanks?
I've seen them. And I've been in a sensory depth tank, but not as a sexual thing.
Mm-hmm.
I've been in a sensory depth tank just for the hallucination aspect of it, just to kind of be groovy, just because I had a friend who worked at a psychology department in college. But it was not, it was interesting, it was cool, but it wasn't an erotic event for me. And then I've seen vac beds at parties and such, but they're so expensive that in the kind of thing everybody just has laying around.
And if you're crafty, you could actually make a vac bed if you buy enough latex and know how to do the seaming properly and just have literally a vacuum. You can make your own vac bed. I don't know the whole process of it.
Oh,
but
yeah,
I've
got
a friend,
shop vac.
But I do have a friend that's making one currently, and the idea of being in a vac bed just completely appeals to me.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing. The mummification that I do is, I guess, sort of the poor man's vac bed. Because you do get that uncomfortable feeling. That's the nice thing about latex, is that it heightens the senses of the skin when you get touched, and you get a little sweaty, and that makes it even hotter.
Oh, latex.
But when you're tied up, you also feel a little uncomfortable.
Right.
And that is maddening. It's disturbing. And now you feel, well, whatever you want to feel, helpless or submissive or humiliated, depending on how you got in this scenario. So you can mix sensory deprivation in with almost anything, I think is the point. But more importantly, for those of you who out there are in a vanilla relationship and want to introduce them to kink, let's start with a silk blindfold. What could be hotter? The average woman would love to be blindfolded and have feathers run all over her body, and she won't think it's kinky.
Kinky Sex Radio.
Spank me!
As always, we want to thank you so much for downloading our show. We thank you so much for listening to us on the podcast. We remind you to vote for the Pod Riot Network.
And if you want to email us with any comments or questions or topics for the show, you can reach us at kinky@kinkysexradio.com.
Until next week, I'm Professor Tom.
And this is Miss Gypsy. Stay kinky.